All right, good afternoon. My postdoc, Bohua Wong, is supposed to give this talk, but he's not able to attend this meeting. I'm going to be giving this talk instead. Since I'm giving this talk, instead of just giving a talk on the genetic map, which is quite boring, I thought I'd change the topic a little bit and give a little bit bigger picture of the overall goal of this project. So the title of this presentation is a genetic map of Gossypium hirsutum by Gossypium mustelinum and is used in monitoring gene integration. And by the way, my name is Ping Chi. Oh, nice. Okay. The phylogeny of elatetoploid. I have always been interested since graduate school in interspecific integration, particularly using wild species to expand the diversity of a crop and in the past we have a lot of success in doing these sort of work using cytogenetics tools in the beginning. With the molecular tools, I think we can make very a huge progress in moving genes from interspecific into our adapted modern germplasm. So in terms of wild species in cotton, my main interest is in the polyploid. The diploid is a little bit harder to deal with. So the question is, why Gossypium mustelinum? Actually, we also working with some of the other tetraploid species as well, Gossypium tomentosum. We do have a project similar to what I'm presented today, and Gossypium barbidens. Most of the work that we've done on this species has already been completed in collaboration with the Wayne Smith and Annie Patterson. So now back to mustelinum. Mustelinum is somewhat special. For one thing, it's located in the basal group of the of this clade, a polyploid Gossypium clade. So what that means is it's the most diverse compared to most of the other tetraploid species, so potentially carrying a lot of novel alleles. So hopefully some of these alleles will be useful for improving cotton, upland cotton specifically. So the approach that we use is what we call advanced backcross designed. So the whole idea is, as Steve Hay has talked about, the difficulties in working with these wild species, photoperiodic for one thing, those things just they don't flower in our production region. So that's one thing about this particular experimental design is allow you to at least to not totally avoid, but to help soften the issue that we have to deal with. So the process really is, instead of looking at an interspecific hybrids, instead of looking at the early generation, okay, the F2s and so forth, we're looking at a later generation hybrids, specifically in the BC3 generation. So what that allows us to do is, during the BC3, okay, each population only carries a very small segment of the donor genome. And what that allows you to do is to evaluate the gene effect of these integrated segments in a lot more precise way. So, and then in addition, we also use, at least during this stage, we can also use DNA markers to monitor integration and perhaps also to use the population to study trait biomarker association to hopefully pull out some of the alleles that could be potentially useful for breeding. Okay, back to the map. I told you I'm going to talk a little bit about the map, but this is about the only slides I have. Well, in the next one. So most of the interspecific map that we have for cotton is derived from, at least the most detailed map, is derived from Gossypium hirsutum by barbidens. We feel that there's enough diversity or enough divergence between mustelinum and barbidens that some of the map order for the loci could be not what it's they're not necessarily compatible. So So we decided to build a Gasuppium hirsutum by Gasuppium mustelinum map, F2 map. And this is the what where we're at this point. So the map contains about 580, so loci covering all the chromosomes, and average distance about 7 centimorgans. Of course, there are always gaps, but that's about the status that we have right now. So just to give you an example how the map looks like, in most cases, using this linkage group chromosome 1, for example, this is HM hirsutum by mustelinum map. In most cases, the loci actually lined up pretty well with the hirsutum by Barbadens map. But we do see some changes. So, for example, right here, you see inversions of markers, and another example is right here. So if we rely on the hirsutum by Barbadens map to study our integration, we might run into some confusing places where how these markers are, or how the integration regions are being sorted out. And I'll show you some examples what we're doing, what I'm talking about. So using the F2 map, what we do is we selected about 250 or so SSR loci that are distributed along the chromosomes, along all the whole genome, all the chromosomes. These are the markers that are codominant, or if they're dominant, they're dominant for mustelinum, because this is the backcross population that we're studying, so you can't look at, you can't see the recessive phenotype, or the, well, you consider phenotype. So these are just examples of two gel pictures of how we can see introgression fragments. These are DPL markers, and they're very good markers, by the way. Welcome. So, okay, right now we have 35 BC3F1, and they each independently derived. So, and just give you an example, this is, so this particular sample right here is hirsutum, and this is mustelinum, this is F1. So you can see there's, out of those 35 individuals for this particular locus, and you can see this mark, this particular individual right here has introgression, right here, and right here. So this is predominantly how we able to detect integration. So when you run 200 some markers on those different BC3F1s, and you sort of align them based on the linkage order of these markers along different chromosomes, this is how you look like. You don't have to worry about the numbers, but I sort of color code them. So blue color represent the Gasuppium mustelinum allele, and yellow is Gasuppium hirsutum. So these order, they order, these markers order along the linkage map. So these are in order. So one end of the chromosome to the other end of the chromosome. So if you look at the integration, okay, on this particular chromosome, 15 as an example, you see that the integration sort of scattered, but a couple things are interesting. If you look at these two, BC3F1, for example, there's absolutely no integration at all for this linkage group. So, and if you look at the other, for example, this is the other extreme of it. So, plan number 13, right here, you see the whole chromosome actually has integration. Now, remember, these are BC3F1, so they behave just like F1. So what that means is the whole chromosome, okay, for this particular plant, one of the whole chromosome actually is mustelinum chromosome. Summarizing all the BC3F1 data on those 200-some SSR markers, we arrive at the amount of integration. And this is kind of somewhat puzzling to me still. I just saw this data, in fact, last week. The amount of integration actually is more than what we expected based on BC3 generation. So it might be a screw-up somewhere, but I hope not. But anyway, the expected rate for BC3 generation is about 12.5%. Number of loci showing Barbadens mustelinum alleles. But what we ended up is an average of 27%. I'm not quite sure what happened. I might need to go back and look at the generation and see whether this is a maybe a BC2 instead of BC3. But hopefully we'll sort it out. The mod integration really quite varies. Like I say, is ranging about almost 20% to almost 40%, and that's very, very high. This data actually is somewhat the opposite of what I expect to see based on my experience on working with Gossypium hirsutum barbitans. In the barbitans, we saw less integration than we expected. So, and this is just the other way around. Okay, let me go back up. So these are BC3F1 plants. And what we did was we selfed them. Okay, so, and these are independently derived, by the way. That's very important, because each one of these BC3F1 plants would carry totally different segments of Gossypium mustelinum. So by selfing these individuals, we develop what we call families of BC3F2. So these F2 will segregate just like a normal F2 population. Instead of a regular F2, where you have the whole genome segregating, so these BC3F2 would only segregate on average about, at least based on this data here, about 20% of the Gossypium mustelinum genome. And next couple of slides, just to show you some examples of the kind of data we look at. So phenotypic data I'm talking about. We planted these BC3F2 families in Tifton. They average about 150 to about 170 individuals, so BC3F2 individuals per family, and we have 35 families, so it's about 5,000 some plants. And shown here is the family means for fiber strength. The recurrent parent, by the way, I should have said earlier, is PD9442. So that's the recurrent parent that we use. Okay, so zero right here represent the fiber quality of fiber strength of PD9442. So as you can see, most of the BC3F2 families, okay, has a family mean fiber length that is, I guess, not as good as PD9442. So those on the bottom, pointed toward the bottom. But we did saw quite a few families that actually has a fiber strength that is better than PD9442, the recurrent parent. So that's pretty encouraging. Similarly, for fiber length, we see a similar pattern where majority of the family has fiber length that is shorter than PD9442, but there are quite a number of families that actually shown fiber quality, that's fiber length that is better.
What are the units on the left?
Actually, staple length. Yeah. So, if I were to make these slides, I would have used a different type of measurements. But anyway, okay, this is the last slide. So what I thought I would do is to pull a couple of those families that has better quality than the recurrent parent and look at the distribution within the family. And again, each family has about 150, 160 individuals, BC3F2 plants. And if you look at the distribution, it sort of makes sense, you know, from the mean data, that you can actually pull out quite a few plants that has fiber length and strength that are better than PD9442. And I didn't show the data, but PD9442 actually has fairly decent fiber quality, as is most of the materials from the PD program. Okay, that's the last slide. What we're doing next is to use these BC3F2 families, and we're going to run the markers that showing where these integration occurs, and do a marker by trait association, essentially QTL analysis, and hopefully we can pull out some alleles that showing to have positive effect in the Gossypium, well, in the 9442 background, and first we hopefully we can identify and identify SSR markers that are linked to these QTLs, these alleles, and hopefully we can further develop these lines into isogenic stage where they become more stable. And then we can use it as a pre-breeding population or pre-breeding material. That's all I have. I'd like to thank USDA APHIS, essentially initially funded this project to get this project going. And also like to thank Cotton Incorporated for doing the fiber testing and funding some of the field evaluation. And also some of the collaborators. Thank you for your attention, and maybe I can help clarify if something that I did not explain clear enough. Do I have time? Yeah, Matt. Yeah, actually, we genotype about all 5,000 plus plants. I didn't have the data at the moment. We haven't done any QT analysis yet, but we are pretty much finished with the genotyping the BC3F2.
But you haven't done any markers yet?
We haven't done the analysis yet. We pretty much finished the marker data. Roy? No, these are BC3F1, individual BC3F1 plants. Yeah, and that's actually, this is quite confusing as well because I'm using 12.5%. This is percent allele, so meaning that in the F1 there's 100% because we don't really know, we can only detect presence or absence. So F1 is 100%, BC1 is 50%, BC2 is 75%. Oh, 12.4.
Well, I mean, also, based on the fiber quality data you showed, you have significant phenotypic variation within a family.
Oh, definitely. I didn't talk about that. In fact, one thing about, you wish to see genetic variation, you make into specific cross, I guess. What I would say is be careful what you wish for. There were just all kinds of variation. Photoperiodic is a big problem. There are certain families that would not recover. I don't think we're able to advance them because they're just too late, even in Georgia environment, which we have a pretty long growing season.
One more question.
Could the overabundance of the most line values be due to some selection engineering?
It's quite possible, but I would expect it to go the other way because I thought we would select for the photoperiodic, non-photoperiodic, so there's probably negative selection, but that's something that I need to investigate further. It could possibly be there's a BC2 instead of BC3. Regardless, there's still integration. The other possibility is outcrossing, intercrossing, but they were done in the greenhouse, so that's not possible. Hopefully, that's not the issue. Yeah, that could be.
Thank you, Bing.